Thank you, Mrs. Reed. It's good to have Jason Pugh with us tonight. Jason is the son of Brother Pugh, who pastors First Baptist Church in Cottondale, and he's just finished Bible college, and he is working with Brother Reed, kind of learning the ropes, and it's a joy to have him in our services tonight. We welcome you, Jason. God bless you. Brother Freddie Reed is a full-time evangelist. God is using him to go church to church to move and excite people about the matter of soul winning. You know, the two greatest soul winners I ever knew have just been promoted to heaven. So there's a vacuum in our land when it comes to evangelists. being in churches, encouraging people and teaching people and leading people in the matter of soul winning. Well, God has blessed Brother Freddie Reed in this area, and everywhere he goes, God is using him to see many people saved, out soul winning and teaching people how to go soul winning and leading soul winning groups. He'll be with us throughout this week, and he'll be giving the soul winning charge before we go out every morning and every evening. He'll be preaching not only tonight, but Wednesday night. And he'll be concluding with us on Friday morning. Then he'll be heading up to Duncan, Oklahoma, to be with Brother Moore and the church there. And we're excited about having him. Now, Brother Freddie Reed, please don't let this hinder your opinion of him. He is the younger brother of Brother Sam Reed. But we want you to love him anyway and encourage him anyway. Okay, now, Brother Reed, I want to say publicly that this week, if you get put in jail, we don't get you out. If your car gets towed, we're not paying for it. Okay? If I get phone calls, I'm saving them for you. Okay? Just do a good job for our Lord. We're excited about it, and we're glad you're here. Brother Freddie, come and preach to us.
Amen. It is a blessing to be here. It really is. If you have a Bible, open up tonight to Isaiah chapter 55 in your Old Testament. We love your preacher, and he's one of my all-time greatest heroes in my life, and just love the way he does things. And I know you know you're blessed to be here. Boy, we've already had if we stopped right now, we're not, amen, but if we stopped right now, we could go home just shouting and praising the Lord for what's already happened, just the Holy Spirit been working in the service. We got here a little early and saw the funny stuff on the camp and all that, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not in those days anymore. And they say, if you want to, you know, stay young, work with teenagers, Brother Tom, but if you want to die young, keep working with them, amen? And so that, but buddy, I'm telling you, to go down there and put up with all that all week, but it's worth it. And that's where the action's at, is with young people, and that's what we do all the time. Our ministry is called 2020 Vision, and you just met my wife over there, certainly my better half. And then many of y'all know my older brother. I always remind people, please know that he's much older than I am. And I said, you got a lot more gray hairs. He said, well, you got a lot more white eyebrows, Freddie. And so, but we kid all the time, and I couldn't believe Brother Todd, man, you look moving him out of his spot up here, brother. I think he sings better than my brother does. And he's covering it all the bases. And so it's fun for me to pick on him this week. And last year I got to go soul winning with my brother on one of the days, being one of the staff guys. And he'd take a door and I'd take a door. And I saw him lead some people to the Lord. It was a blessing. Have a brother like that, you know, that it's a hero to you. And I got to lead one to the Lord finally. But I noticed he was my silent partner. I noticed right when I was going through the plan, I got on about point number four coming down the stretch, and my brother was over there asleep. And I said, oh, my soul. And I looked over there and had to wake him up a little bit. We kid with him all the time. So, Sam, we're going to get him all week long if he's around. And Tom, and then some of them don't want to claim me. But I want Jason to come up. You've got to meet Jason this week. He may not get to come. Come on up here. He's going, no. But I want you to bring your Bible with you. That'd be good. You're a preacher. And he's a young evangelist now. He's been traveling with me. He went to Norris Bible Institute here for a year and a half. And then he went to Champion, graduated last May. And then this year, this fall, he started... He's been traveling with me on these summer tours when we go soul winning all across the South and take preacher boys from different Bible colleges. He's done that the last 2 years. And then this past fall, he went to Hiles Anderson for a semester, started working on his master's. But he had already told me, he said, Brother Freddie, I'm going to travel with you full time. And we've been praying. And I've just laid him on my heart as a young man. I've just watched him for a couple of years. He's just right over here just outside of Fort Worth, and watched his character and those things. And I said, brother, we're praying about these things going into the public schools and doing assemblies on drugs and suicide. And then you can't, you know, mention God or the Bible or quote scripture in there. In most cases, you just can't. You got to play it safe. But then we invite them out to youth rallies at night and preach to them and drop the bomb on them there. And so Jason said, I'd like to do that. And little did I know what his dream was. And January 4th this year, he joined just full-time with me. And,
and been traveling with me ever since. We've been in about 80-something Christian schools together preaching, and we're going to keep going into Christian schools. There's a much-needed ministry there to stir young people. Some of them just need to get saved, and some of them, you know, just need to get more burdened about lost kids. And so we go in together, and I didn't know. I knew he could dunk a basketball, but I asked him, I said, you know, you bought into my dream to go reach these public school teens, and you know, by the way, I wanted to ask you what your dream was. And he said, well, Brother Freddie, since you ask, I'll go ahead and tell you. I've always envisioned, he said, when I was in high school, he played 4A ball over here, and he was a starter when he was a junior. He was the only guy on his team that could dunk. He's short, like the shortest guy on his team, but he still could. He's the only one that could dunk. All the rest of them, he said he went to public school. All the rest of them drank and did drugs. He's the only one that didn't, never touched alcohol, never touched drugs, never touched a girl. Amen? Still that way. Those are rare breeds. That's the best testimony there is. And he was the only one in his high school that could dunk the ball. He got sold out to God between his sophomore and junior year at youth camp, went to his principal first day of high school, his junior year, walked in the principal's office and said, hey, I want to preach to the young people in my school every week. Could you give me a room so I could do it? And the principal goes, no way. And he said, well, thanks for, I just wanted to ask. The next day he came back in, had the legal documentation, and the laws state that if it's student-oriented, you can get away with murder. And he walks in and he said, listen, I want you to read this, and then I want to ask you that same question. And the principal said, I was hoping you didn't know about this. And they gave him the smallest room over there. And him and his little brother that was a freshman at that time, they started preaching every week. They were having 30 and 40 and 50 young people showing up twice a week and preaching to them. And then tons of those young people began to get saved and come to their church and teen van routes. And several of them are off in Bible college, have already graduated out in the ministry. It's amazing. He said, here's my dream. He said, I thought maybe when I get through giving the speech in this public school with you that I could dare everybody to a dunk contest. Any athlete in that high school? I said, what? He said, oh, yeah. He said, that's been my dream for years, and I've just never told anybody. And I said, what do you mean? I said, how many dunks can you do? And I'd seen him out on courts witnessing all over the country in the summers, and he'd just take over a ball game, and pretty soon he's got everybody on that court on their knees praying, man. I've watched him do it. But I didn't know how many. He said, I can do about 7 dunks. Right now, he's doing about 20 different dunks. He's trying to break the world's record for doing the most different dunks as a white guy. Amen? And they say white men can't jump. And I love him, man. He's been traveling with me. And it's so important when you travel as an evangelist. I just think it's wise to have somebody with you. When my wife's not with me, and she can't travel all the time. Jason, we go together and we're a team. And he wins souls, man. He'll push me. I'll push his buttons. He pushes me. I say, you can't beat the old man. But I let him preach, and it's awesome. I want him to read our text tonight. Look in Isaiah 55, and we'll tell you a little bit more about my family. I got my little boy sitting over here named Andrew. He happens to be named after Dr. Carl Hatch, his ministry. Carl Hatch is my hero of all heroes of evangelists. And then everybody always says stuff about Joe Boyd when I come around, and I met him one time here in Arlington, Texas. The night I saw him preach, Pastor, they had 120 visitor, over 120 visitors in the church here in South Arlington. It was about 15 years ago, and they had over 40 of them baptized that night. I'd never seen anything like it, and we just lost two of the greatest heroes on the planet. And you know, they didn't know, no write up in the papers. People don't even, the world doesn't even know. And we need some people to fill their shoes. We named our little boy Andrew, and hoping that he'll get that soul winning, amen, inside of him. And you meet him and hope he acts good tonight during church. I got a little girl back in the nursery. She acts more like mama. She's an angel. We got to watch Andrew full time though, amen. And thank you, Janie, for singing. We got a little visitor here tonight, Miss Belle Engle. Thank you for coming. And she just moved into the Fort Worth area. She might be looking for a church. Amen. And let's read this, Jason, and then let him go down and take it in. But Isaiah 55, verse number 10, 11, and 12. Let's read it tonight and then jump off the high diving board and get in the message as God leads.
For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Amen. I love these verses. I especially love tonight. Look at verse number 12, and notice this scripture. It says here, I love it. It says you'll go out with joy and come forth with peace. That sounds like a good soul winning verse, doesn't it? And it says the mountains shall break forth before you into singing. Wouldn't it be sweet if you was walking through a valley in your life? I hope you're not going through one right now. But wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be awesome if you absolutely, when you were in a deep valley in your life, you know what I like about valleys? One old preacher said, I love valleys. Because for every valley I've ever been in, there's two mountains, one on either side. And I thought that's a good way to look at it. But wouldn't it be great if you was walking through the valley in your life and it got so good, you were in such a zone that the mountains on both sides of you started singing a duet in perfect harmony? Buddy, that'd be sweet, wouldn't it? You say, Brother Reed, I have seen that happen. I've heard them do it. No, you have not. You ain't done it. You ain't seen that, neither have I, but I'd like to, I must admit. I love this verse number 12, but I got to be honest, I don't understand it. I'm not qualified to preach on it. I don't know if I can touch this, but I sure do like this verse. I'd love to see this happen. Look at the rest of the verse. It said, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wouldn't it be sweet if you was walking through the woods just minding your own business and it got so good with God that the trees just stood there and started giving you they just gave you a standing ovation. They started clapping their hands for you all over the forest. You say, Brother Reed, I've seen that. You know, they got limbs, you know, and that's what they call our arms and stuff. And you got to have an imagination, but it's in the Bible here. It can happen. You say, Brother Freddie, I have seen this. I promise you I have. No, you have not. And if you keep saying that, I'm going to know where you're from. You're one of them guys that smoke some left-handed cigarettes from California or something. You need to get off that stuff. Hey, I ain't never seen it, and you ain't never seen it, but I'd sure like to get into verse number 12 one day. Wouldn't it be good if I could come back here one of these days and tell you, hey, I know what verse 12 means. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Let me tell you about it. But I better stay out of it. Because I don't understand it. I tell you what I can do. Got an idea. I can get into verse number 10. And I can get in, especially in verse number 11. And maybe one day, especially if I hang out in verse number 11, maybe one day the Lord will let me step my toe over into verse number 12 and I can come back and tell you about it. Let's pray tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. The greatest thing you can ever get your hands on. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, thanking you for your Son, thanking you for his blood. I pray tonight you'd wash us under that blood afresh and anew. Oh Lord, cleanse us. Make us the kind of Christians we ought to be. Send us out of here on fire for you in these last days. Stir our hearts tonight to do what we know we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Verse number 10, it says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Let's look at this verse. Man, I like this verse. I think I can get this one. I don't know about you. I was raised here in Texas all my life. My dad, it's Father's Day, and I remember sitting next to him 2 years ago and a year ago, and Dr. Smith, thank you for taking care of my dad. You didn't get to be at the funeral that day, but there was no other preacher that stood up and took care of my dad, even close to what your preacher did. My dad said about him, he said, he's the closest thing I've seen to J. Frank Norris in about 50 years. Y'all got you a good preacher. That's my dad talking. My dad don't lie. I mean, he knows his stuff. I mean, he knew both men. It was just the old-time religion, man, and he got it done right here in the Metroplex. And being Father's Day, and you know, thinking about the time that we've had and in the past. My dad just he loved verses like this. He loved a verse in, you know, we were raised up in Texas and we'd absolutely, I don't know about you, but there ain't a lot of rain that goes around in this state. You know, we get kind of made fun of. Jason over here, he's from Paradise, Texas. When we preach out of state a lot, he'll stand up and announce, "I'm from Paradise, Texas." Y'all didn't know Paradise was in Texas, did you? And, you know, it's on the map. It's a little bitty city. And but, you know, we don't get a lot of rain down here at all. But I have noticed when it does rain, I've noticed, oh, this is deep, this will blow you away and get your seatbelt on. You ain't going to get this from every preacher. I'm one of them deep preachers. Every time I've ever seen it rain, it always came from a certain direction. It always come from up there. Are you listening to me? Every time. I don't know if y'all notice this. You got to be a Bible scholar to figure this one out. But, I mean, here you got 1.5 cents. You know that. I don't know if you noticed as well. It says as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Every time it snows, I've noticed this as well. You know, we love snow around here. If we get a little snow in Texas, it don't ever, I mean, once every 2-3 years maybe. If it does, it don't even have to stick. I mean, even 1 inch. And we love it because they cancel school for 2 weeks. Amen? You teenagers, you ought to love that, man. You get out of school. You teachers, you really ought to like it, man, because you can get away from your students for a while and get a break. But, I mean, well, oh, no, it ain't safe to drive on, man. We can't be out there taking no chances. And you get off work. But I don't know if you notice, every time I've ever seen it snow, it always came from a certain direction. It don't come from down here. It comes from up there. Now stay with me. Look at verse number 11. There's something else I got to talk about tonight. I just have to. It's on my heart. It's burning on the inside. There's something else that also, it don't come from down here. It comes from up there. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. There's a book. We call it the old King James Bible, Blackback 66. You say you believe it, you think it's inspired? I do. I believe every word is. I believe the cover is. I believe the index is, a concordance, and the whole thing, brother. You just don't know what I believe. Hey, listen to this. Did you know this book don't come from down here? I was over in Mississippi, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, witnessing. And I was actually just driving down the road, minding my own business. And the Lord said, witness to them three guys. You know what I think's going on, Brother Laster? Here's what I think I figured this out about him just traveling around America. I think I figured out what the Lord's doing, Brother Tom. I believe the Holy Spirit is on the outside of every lost person in America right now trying to get in. That's what he's doing. That's his main work. He's on the outside of, are you listening? He's on the outside of every lost person in this nation right now trying to get in. At the same time, he's on the inside of every saved person right here in America trying to get out. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? Man, I'm glad I'm on this side of the street. I remember what it was like to be over there. I don't want to forget where I was before I got saved. I was just driving down the road and something said, witness to them boys. And I got out of my vehicle. I was by myself. And there's three guys sitting on the back of a pickup and tailgate down. And they just, you know, kind of having fun that afternoon. Just talk, about 19, 20, 21, I'm guessing. And I got over there and I started to talk to them. Just got into it. And as I just opened up the conversation, one of the guys, you know, there's always one smart aleck in every group. Have y'all noticed that? And he's usually got the biggest mouth of the whole group, too. And one guy right in the middle, he said, hey, I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of you Christian people. I don't want to hear what you're saying. He said, I'm an atheist. And them two friends of his looked at him like they didn't even know it. But boy, he went off on me. He said, I don't believe in God. And he went on. I just looked at him. He thought I was going to do cartwheels or something, you know. And I just stood there. And he said, on top of that, I don't believe a word of that Bible you're talking about. He said, I think a bunch of men got together and wrote it. That's what I think, just to make money. What do you think about that? And he was standing about a foot away from me, like he's trying to start something. And you know, I probably wasn't real smart, but I just said it. Usually I think of this like 30 minutes later, but I said, I don't think you read it. His two friends looked at me like, oh, no, you shouldn't have said that to him. He's already hot and bothered. He's going off on you. I said, I don't think you read it. I can tell you hadn't. You just gave yourself away. And I grinned like this. I got about 6 inches closer to him. I said, you ain't read it, have you? Or you wouldn't have said what you just said. You just told on yourself, sir. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, oh, yeah. If you'd have read it, you'd have known better than to say what you just said about it. You ain't read it, have you? And I noticed a chink in his armor. And I got the taste of blood, buddy. I thought, I'm going to go for it. He hesitated there for a second. I got my nerve up. I said, you ain't read it or you wouldn't have said that. If you'd have read it, you'd have known better than to say that a bunch of men wrote it. Now, you ladies in here tonight, you're probably going to say amen on this one. You might not ever say amen, but you'll say amen right here. This is good for you ladies. I said, if you'd read it, sir, you'd have known that a bunch of men didn't write it. Because if they wrote it, they'd have been bragging on themselves the whole book through. They've been talking about how great they were from the beginning all the way to the end. You ain't read it, have you? You ladies, isn't that right? If a bunch of guys wrote it, they'd have been talking. Hey, that book doesn't have one good thing to say about mankind. All it does is brag about God. God wrote it. Hey, listen, folks. It don't come from down here. It comes from up there. You just read it a little bit and you'll find that out. And boy, he kind of backed off. He hem-hauled around. I said, you ain't read it, have you? And he finally said, no, I hadn't. I was just mouthing. And I got to show them other two boys how to get saved. And one of them boys got saved. I thought, well, glory to God. Did you know this book? It doesn't come from here. It comes from up there. And you know what that means? Now, this is deep. It means it's the greatest thing you can get your hands on. There ain't nothing like it on the planet. I'm just going to brag about the Bible tonight for just a little bit. Hey, you know what we need to do with our soul winning? Y'all got it going on right here. I never seen a church got this stuff going like y'all got. Every year now for 17, 18 years, man, you just tear it up and go soul winning a whole week. And just in your own quiet way, if the other churches in America knew how y'all built this thing, they'd all grab a hold of it. They're using all these programs and all this, spending all this money. Hey, man, just put shoe leather to your Christianity and go do it. But you know, the truth is, it's not, soul winning is not tried and found wanting. It's found difficult and not tried. But it works. And if you think about it, if God is a person, now this is deep, buckle your seatbelt, it's over your head if you're not careful. If God is a person, how many of y'all would say God is a person? You may not say, I don't want to call him a person. Well, he's got a great personality, amen? If you know him. How many of y'all in here think God's wonderful? How many think God loves you? Man, I know he does. How do you know that? You would sit there and testify and say, oh, yeah, he loves me. He's done this for me. I know it was him. Hey, has he ever talked to you? Has he ever come sat down beside you like a friend and spoke to you? If he did, how would he do it? This is deep. If God's a person and you're a person, how would he talk to you? This is real deep, so be careful. You're going to miss it. Here's how he talked to you. With words. Amen? Where are his words at? They're in this book right up here. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there's power. This is the king's word right here. The old King James Bible. You say, you believe that? I believe every bit of that. I believe more than that. This is how God talks to me. You know what that means? That means the greatest thing I can get my hands on this planet is a copy of this book. But you know what? That verse there says, if you'll give it out, if you'll hand it out, if you'll put it out, it'll do something. It won't return void. It's the greatest thing you can give somebody. If I had money, I don't have enough. Sometimes I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. Amen. But if I had money, sometimes I get a little more than other times, but well, sometimes it's tough. If I had it, I know what I'd do. I'm praying, asking God to risk it on me. I heard the other day about this guy named Bill. My mom told me, she said, I've never named any of my kids Bill. She said, I had four boys. And she said, I didn't name a one of them Bill because I had enough Bills come along before the first one ever hit. But I heard about this guy named Bill. Y'all might have heard of him named Bill Gates, his last name. The other day, just a little while ago, he was a-grapping. Why is he grapping? He's upset because it's too hard. I mean, too much month left at the end of the money, I guess. The guy is now number three, and he was number one. Now, that's got to be hard to make it. He's got at his disposal $19 billion. $19 billion at his disposal. And he's upset. The poor guy, it's hard to make it on being number three. He wants to be back number one. Sometimes I just like to have 19, amen? Bill's griping. You know what I'd do if I had some money like that? If one of y'all's got it, would you please loan it to me after the service? Because I know what I'd do with it. And I better clear this with preacher. But if I'd like to get the loan from you, amen, and pay you back someday. I know exactly what I'd do if I had that kind of money. I'd buy every teenager in America a King James Bible. And I'd let them have it. I'd lay it on them. Buddy, I'd give it to them more than one way. I'd hand it to them, and I'd lay it on them. I'd read it to them, and then I'd preach a little while, and we might see revival hit this country. The problem is I can't afford it. It's a good idea. You know how much some things cost? $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 a piece. I'm talking about a Bible. $15, $20, $30, $50, sometimes $100, depending on what you get. You get what you pay for, you know. I can't wrap my wallet around it yet. Now, if you got that money, would you please loan it to me? I'd be the delivery boy. You know what I'd do right after I gave every teenager one? I'd do it. I really would. I'd give every one of their little brothers and sisters one. And then I'd give their parents one, and we really might see revival shake this nation. There's a problem with that. I'm coming up short on the money end, on the finances. You notice all of us preachers, every one of us that come in here, your preacher invites in, always got something we preach about money. Y'all notice that? Every one of us got some great idea, but it involves your wallet. I'm just being honest. I'm going to get in trouble over here. I'm going to preach over here on this side. But I do have an idea. I've got something. I brought them with me tonight. I got them in my pocket here tonight. And I dedicate this message to a preacher that's my favorite evangelist. And name a little boy after him. Ain't no evangelist I know that ever helped me like this guy did. I mean, he'd embarrass me, Carl Hatch. I mean, he'd challenge me, and he'd motivate me, and he'd embarrass me bad. He just thought, he said, there's only two places you'll ever catch me without a track on me. And he said, one of them's in the shower, and the other one's in bed. If you catch me either place, I'll kill you. That's how he talk. And he meant it, man. You ain't gonna mess with him. But I'm dedicating this to Carl, Dr. Carl Hatch, in his memory tonight. I just can't pass up this opportunity. They're having an award later on this week for the one that wins the most. But you know what? He believed in tracks. You say, oh, this is some new idea. You guys always come up with some new idea, every preacher. I don't think this one was new. I don't know if you ever heard about that boat that came over to America called the Mayflyer. You ever heard of that? How many of y'all ever heard of that? Did you know there was a guy on the Mayflyer named John Robinson? This is church history. This is American history. You need to know it. He came over on the Mayflyer, and he had two boxes of tracks on the Mayflyer cargo. Big old boxes of tracks. And you say, well, why did that boat make it over here first? I figured it out. When he got over here, they said, when he got to America, he got off the boat and he was going to give them tracks to Indians in India. They were for Indians in India. He found some Indians, all right, amen. But they weren't from India. And it broke his heart. He was a soul winner. This country was started by a soul winner. Amen? I mean, brother, it was. And I think that boat made it over here first. I figured it out. I think it made it over here first. This is deep. I believe I figured it out, preacher. Because Jesus loves tracks. All them other boats sunk. But Jesus loves tracks, and he don't want them to get wet. Amen? Take care of them things. And I tell you something else. I believe Jesus, this is deep, I believe Jesus loves people that plan on passing them out, and I believe he'll keep their head above water. I think he'll just take care of them and keep them all the way above water. That's what I believe. You know what he did? You read about him. It broke his heart when he met the Indians. If you get a burden for one nation, you'll have a burden for every nation. He couldn't speak their language, but before he died, he learned to speak it. And he figured out a way to get the Word of God in their hands. And some of them Indians got saved, and he was like the first soul winner in our country. That's what America's built on. This ain't no new idea. What's a tract? It's a little piece of paper that shows you how to get all the way to heaven from wherever you're at. Pretty powerful little piece of paper, if you ask me. This one's got John 3:16 on the front. Number one most popular verse in America right now. It'll get people's attention. They may not trust you. Listen to me. They may not trust you for good reason. Because they know about churches. They know about preachers. They've had lots of people knock on their door. Or some. But you know what? They may trust that verse. And then they'll read it. There's other good verses in the Bible too, but that's a good starter. Amen? Well, that'll go. And it's a, what is it? It's a little piece of paper. It shows you how to get all the way to heaven from wherever you're at. Here's one called Paid in Full. I like this one too. You know, a lot of people out there, they're looking for something that's free. We got something to tell them about. Amen? We do. I mean, brother, we got something to tell them about somebody that died on a cross, paid in full. It's stamped there. What you miss by being a Christian. That'll catch your attention. You open it up on the inside. Curiosity killed the cat. On the inside it says, H-E double hockey sticks. What you miss by being a Christian. Hell. And it gives all these references on hell. Brother, that'll burn your hand. Brother, that'll scorch you. Did you know right now hell's the 15th most popular word in the English language? Right now in America? And there's another word that starts with a D. I'm not going to say it because some of y'all might think I'm cussing. But if you're saying it in context and you mean what you're saying, it's not cussing. There's another word that starts with a D that's the 8th most popular word right now in the English language. Isn't that sad? But hell ain't no cuss word. And you know what this does? This tells you what you're going to miss by being a Christian. Hell. And then on the back it tells you how to get to heaven. Pretty clever. You know what I call the place that prints these tracts? And I wanted to order some and some years back. And I said, how much they cost? And they said, oh man, they're free. I like free stuff. I mean, that's why I got saved. But I said, no, man, I don't want to pay for them, man. I don't want to be a cheapskate. I know it costs you to print them and how much they cost. And man, they put me off for like 5 minutes. We're not taking your money. They're free. We'll give them to you all you want. I said, no, I want to pay for them. And I said, finally, I pinned them down. How much do they cost? And they said, well, we'll tell you what it costs for printing charges. We can print 8 of them for 1 penny. I thought, hey, that's awesome. 8 of these little dudes for 1 penny? That fits my wallet. I think I can do this. Hey, did you know, listen to me now. Did you know right underneath our feet tonight while we're sitting here in this air-conditioned building, you might be complaining about things or something a little bit. You better be careful. Right underneath our feet, if you dug down about 15, 20, 30 miles, you went down about, drilled down about 50, 60, 100 miles down towards the center. Not that, go that direction. I'm talking about that direction. It would get real warm. It wouldn't be the best weather in the world to build a snowman. Science finally catches up with the Bible. It says the way of life is above to the wise, to depart from hell beneath. There's all kinds of verses I could show you throughout the Word of God that talk about the location of hell. It's underneath our feet. Are you listening? There are people right now underneath our feet in the center of this earth that are burning, that are screaming, that are begging for water, that can't get out, and they're stuck there. They'll never get out, and they'd give anything in the world if they had a chance to put it on rewind and go back and sit in the seat you're sitting in tonight and have a chance to get saved, but they rejected Jesus Christ and they died and they crossed the finish line and they'll never get out. As you know, we're sitting here on top of the ground. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving for us tonight. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving for you. If you're a Christian, you're not going to hell. You know, we owe a debt to people. I heard Carl Hatch say this. He said, you can pay off your spiritual debt to lost people just by passing out tracts. He said, we owe them something. Because somebody told us, we ought to tell somebody else. Somebody told me. Somebody got the Word of God to me. I thank God for that person that did it. But I'm indebted now to the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy after that. This one here is called Something's Missing. Got little holes in somebody's heart. Little bitty boy here, I think he's a bus kid right here in Arlington. He'll be short, sawed-off dude, about 6-7 years old, and he's got a hole in his heart. Something's missing. These are called tracts. There's all kinds of them, just different. I collect them. I steal them from churches if people ain't looking. There's different ones here, and this one here is written by Dr. Ford Porter. You say, Brother Reed, is this all you're going to do tonight? You're wasting your bullets. We already know about tracks. Man, our church, you know, man, y'all got an awesome track here. Man, it's going out all over this. Y'all soaked this Metroplex with your tracks. Some of you have. Maybe some of you haven't. Maybe you're leaning on the preachers to do it and the staff to do it and the bus workers to do it. But God's speaking to you. He's on the inside of you trying to get out. Are you listening? Sometimes those preachers overshoot the runway. Sometimes we tell you, you ought to be out there on the front lines witnessing, and maybe you should. But sometimes we may need to let you slow down just a little bit and let's get the first things right. Let's make sure we're passing out tracts. I'm not saying this is a substitute for your soul winning this week or any week, but listen, there's something that'll happen just from the tract passing out. That people criticize churches like this. They say, how many of them really meant it? How many of them really got saved? Y'all say y'all had 200 and something saved last year, and you know, all these baptized. How many of them really meant it? Hey, you know, maybe all of them didn't mean it. Maybe not everybody that we said seems to get saved really did mean it. Maybe more did. Maybe all of them didn't get saved that we claim got saved. Maybe more got saved. Did you ever think of how many people might have got saved just from the tracks? I've got a track right here by a guy named Jim Lyons. Quiet, modest, not your loudmouth, wild man evangelist, but he's been in evangelism for years. I don't even know if he's still alive. But I remember he's from right around this area. He used to be on Dr. Howell's staff in the earliest days. And he went out in evangelism. And I remember hearing him preach, and the Holy Spirit squeezed my heart. That's not good English. He squeezed my heart and broke my heart when that man preached that night. And he had those tracts at his table, and on the way out the door, I shook his hand. And I said, I want to buy some of those tracts. And he looked at me and just, I mean, there's a big long line of people behind me. He said, they're not for sale. I said, no, I want to pay for them. You know, I don't want to take them. Those are sharp tracks, quality. Someday you'll stand before God. It was unbelievable what happened. He kind of got put out with me. He said, young man, didn't you hear me? They're not for sale. He said, I give them away. To save people and lost people. That's what the Lord wants me to do. And then he checked me out in the line. I was a young preacher. I'd already got out of Bible college. He said, are you saved? I mean, buddy, he was checking me out. I said, yes, sir. I gave him the name, date, and place, all of it, you know, social security number, all that. He said, okay, sounds like you're saved. You're under the blood. He said, I give them away to save people, and I give them away to law. Here, you can have some. And I said, no, sir. What I mean is, I know they cost you, and I don't want to... Can I make a nice donation to the Jim Lyons Foundation? Would that be okay if I did that to you? I wrote a check to you, help your ministry a little bit to offset the... He grinned, he laughed. He said, yeah, you could do that if you want to. But I didn't sell them to you. I gave them to you. You hear what I'm saying, son? You know what I found out? Just a quiet, soul-winning evangelist that's just got it done all over the country. Lives over here in Garland somewhere. Found out years later he'd done a survey. These had gone all over the world. Hundreds of thousands of them. I go into churches, about one out of every four or five churches I go in, they've got his track sitting on the track rack. I'm thinking, well, glory to God. He's getting some mileage. And you know what he found out? He found out after a survey on the back, it says, if you just now received Christ as your Savior from reading this tract, would you please write down your name, address, phone number? We want to send you some free new convert material to help you in your new walk in Christ. Something like that. And they sent it in, and they found out that out of hundreds of thousands of them had gone out. He put a bunch of them out himself. He found out 7 out of every 100 tracts that he ever put out came back saying that they got saved. For the first time from reading his tract. You know there's people that won't dare write back in because they're afraid of what they might, you know, they're afraid of somebody's going to stuff their mailbox with stuff. And so they don't. Wouldn't that be amazing if we found out when we got to heaven that there wasn't just this many saved, there were a whole lot more saved because some people put some tracts out. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, guys, I know they're heavy. But I think if you love Jesus, you'd pass them out and you'd get you some. We saw a little 8-year-old girl not too long ago. I asked her, I was 8 years old. And I said, how many? She was in a Walmart parking lot and she had a fistful of tracts in both hands. I mean, like 10, 15 in each hand and a bunch more of them in her little pink purse. I said, how many you got there? How many you passed? Oh, lots of them. How many you got in your hand? She had 15 tracts in one hand. Passing them out like it's the end of the world. Now, you guys, I know they're heavy. But, boys, I would never let a girl outdo me at nothing. You boys that are 8, 9, 10, 11, 14 years old, you're talking about an 8-year-old passing out more tracks than you? I'd be ashamed of it. And if you did beat her at something, you know, it'd be like beating your little sister in basketball. I wouldn't be bragging. But let a girl pass. I think if you love Jesus, you could pump iron and work out and get all buffed out. And I believe you could get you 20 or 30 in each hand and pass them out all week. I'm talking about tracks. Sometimes we skip first base, man. Carry them with you. Leave them on the door. There's all different ones. This one's got a little smiley face on it. It'll crack you up. You know what you do if a waitress gets huffy with you when she's trying to take your order? You know, she's supposed to be nice, waiting on you. You know what you do? You get her back, don't you? No, you get her back the right way. You leave. Don't you dare leave a track on the table and not leave a nice tip. That's called cheapskate. That's a bad, gives us a black eye. Leave a nicer than ever tip than you ever would. And put it on there and pray. And when you walk out, you know what she might do when she gets to your table? She might crack up. She might get saved. I love these little things. I mean, you know there's a verse in the Old Testament that talks about everlasting joy? I've read it about 3 different places in the Old Testament. It talks about everlasting joy. Where's that at? That's heaven. I mean, you could give them something, they'd be smiling forever. And the next time you come in there, they'd be ready to wait on you real good. I like your tip. It's called track. I love them. Here's one called How to Get to Heaven from Alabama. How many of y'all people in here think the people over in Alabama need to get saved bad? Oh, man, they do. I'm telling you they do. That's a good one. This one's called How to Get to Heaven from Texas. Amen. They got them for every state. This one here is How to Know You're Going to Heaven by Dr. Curtis Hudson. Now, I showed you that one by Ford Porter. That thing's had more people saved than any other track there was. God's simple, but this one here, it's a, like they say up in the mountains of North Carolina, it's a good'un. It's a good'un, man. Now, you ain't going to get this for 8 of them for a penny. They run 5, 6, 7 cents a piece now. But good quality paper, you get what you pay for. It's sharp. But I think I could afford that for a lost person to get their blood off my hands. Here's one called This Could Be Your Last 5 Minutes Alive. I knocked on a door in Greenville, Texas. I actually rang a doorbell in a real nice neighborhood. Brick home, 2-story homes, 500,000 on up. I don't know what I was doing in that neighborhood. I should have had somebody with me when I was going soul winning that day to handle my light work. Jason, I needed him, you know. But I was by myself. And when I rang this door, but you never know who you're going to run into when you go soul winning. Did you know that? I knocked on a door here in Center Street. I went by Center Street this afternoon. It don't look the same. But I remember some years ago on Center Street, that was where you went to find some people. I mean, the down and outers, man. Just a little ways over here. I knocked on the door. Me and J.D. Weedo would go over there. That's where we started soul winning together. And we cut our teeth together. And I went out one day by myself, and we hit these rundown apartments, and I knocked on the door, and a guy knocked on the door from the other side. What do you mean? Yeah, I knocked seven knocks. And a guy just like that, just in perfect cadence. I'm thinking, am I dreaming? It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was like a Thursday morning, and dumb me, I knocked again. And that guy did the same thing. I thought, this guy needs to get a life. What is he doing, standing there waiting for people like me? This guy really needs to get a life. And so I just walked back to my car. I said, man, I don't know what to do. It's not in any soul winning book I've ever read. What to do on this one, man? And Brother Todd, I went back to my car and I got in my car. And just about the time I got in the car, a guy poked his head out that door. Weirdest looking dude you ever saw. Sounds like somebody from Arlington, amen? And this guy, he poked his head out the door and he said, hey, what's the matter? You scared to come to my door? Well, when somebody says that to me, man, I want them to meet, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm a man. I got red blood in me, man. I got out of that car and I said, I'm going to go over and talk to him, look him right in the eye anyway. You know, soul winning is a lot of things, but boring ain't one of them, amen? You never know who's behind the next door. I got to the door and the door was closed again. It was almost closed. It was just about ajar, you know. And so, dumb me, I start to knock. I think, I ain't going to do it. He's going to knock again, you know. He's going to get his last laugh. And I stood there and he said, come on in, you scared? So I just pushed the door open. It was already ajar, and I pushed the door open. And when I did, the guy was standing less than 2 feet from me, ugly-looking dude. And he had, I don't know if it was a cobra or a python. It looked to me like it was about 10 foot long because it was wrapped all the way around him. And the snake was looking at me about a foot away, just pushing his little tongue out like that. Man, you know what I did? I about wet in my pants. I ran to the car. I got in that car and I put it in reverse. I didn't go soul winning. JD looked at me. He said, Freddie, man, you backslid on me, man. I didn't go soul winning for 2 weeks. I said, man, you never know what. I knocked on this door in Greenville, Texas. You never know who's back. A man came to the door and he was big. It wasn't how tall the guy. He was like 6'7", 6'8". It wasn't how tall he was that was so intimidating. It was how wide he was. I mean, it's like wide as he was tall. And he looked, I thought, man, I'm glad I didn't run into this guy in a back alley. But here I am in his front door, and I've got a witness to him. He's big. He looked like he pumped iron like eight hours a day, 5 days a week, and maybe took weekends off. And he was like me, you know, all buffed out and muscular and all that, you know. And I said, man, this guy's a big dude. And I thought, man, I've got to ask him the question. Y'all know what the question is, don't you? How many of y'all know what the question is? I got to ask him the question. Y'all are educated, aren't you? Y'all been indoctrinated on soul winning. I've got to ask him, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Well, you know what I was thinking. I'm thinking, when I ask him this, it ain't going to be him dying today. It's going to be me dying today right after I ask it. How did I get myself in this between a rock and a hard place? Lord, I told you I would. I'm thinking this in my mind. I told you I'd witness to somebody every day. And Lord, here I am. Man, you got me in a mess. And then I thought, it hit me. Brilliant thought hit me. I've been reading a little book that week. You know, they ask evangelists, do you read a lot of books? And we better say yes, you know, or they won't think we know our stuff. So I try to. But I read pamphlets and call them books. 14 pages, 17 pages, 8 pages, you know. I read, and I've been reading a little book that week. I think it was just like 17 pages. It's called Let's Go Soul Winning. And the guy that wrote that book knew his stuff. And I'd just been reading it, and here's what he said. He gave you all the nuts and bolts of how to on soul winning. What you do and what you don't do is what you need to learn when you knock on a door. And he said this. He said, when you go up to a door, you gotta be friendly. And he used the word folksy. Now, that ain't even in a dictionary, but I like that word, folksy. That's a good old Texas word, amen? He said, you gotta be folksy. And he said, you got to win somebody to you if you're going to ever lead them to the Lord. And then he gave examples. And he said, if you walk up to the door and you see a fishing pole leaning up against the house, you brag about their fishing rod. You see a boat in the garage, you brag about their bass boat. You see them and they got kids in the house, you brag about how cute their kids are, even if they're ugly. I mean, you ain't lying. They're cute to those parents, amen? Those kids are beautiful to them parents, amen? And that's called psychology. You come to me and you brag about my two kids and you tell me they look cute, buddy, I'm going to like you from then on. That's just, I think you got good taste in kids. You set them up for the kill. Stroke their ego. And he said, you got to win them to you if you're ever going to lead them to the Lord. So I thought right now would be a perfect time for me to win this guy to me first. I'm going to take the slow approach on this guy before I pop the question. So I said, sir, I had to come to your door. I said, I couldn't believe it. I was just driving through your neighborhood, and I couldn't help but notice your yard. And he said, what? What about it? I said, I've never seen a yard. It's got grass in it. And he said, really? I said, yeah, and it's green, man. Your grass, look at that green. I've never seen grass as green as the grass you have in your front yard. Look at it. And I was going on and on. It looks like you mow it every week. I ain't never seen. I had to pull over and tell you, man, you got the nicest yard around. You mow it every week, don't you? And he looked at me like I was an idiot. And he said, son, you hadn't noticed we all mow our grass around this neighborhood. I don't know where you're from. I looked next door. And man, their grass was immaculate. I looked over here, and man, their grass was perfect, like they mowed it that day. And I thought, man, I just stepped in something. I got something on my foot. I got to get it off. And I said, no, I wanted to brag about your yard, but there was something else I noticed when I was coming up your sidewalk. I couldn't help but notice. And I was trying to think of something else to change the subject. I said, oh, yeah, your windows on the front of your house, I have never seen windows like. He came outside and looked at them. I said, I've never seen windows. Look at them. On both sides, they match, and they're shiny and clean. I said, you could just see right through them. I said, it looks like you washed your windows. I was just walking up the side. I couldn't help but notice. I could see in and see your furniture and what's in the house. It's so clean. He said, oh, yeah, what else did you find in my house? I'm like, oh, no, man, I'm digging my own grave. And I said, sir, you do have nice windows. And your yard is unbelievable. There's another reason I had to come to your door. Listen close. I had to pop the question. It's got big. I said, I wouldn't be much of a Christian if I didn't ask you this question, sir. I've got to ask you this. I ask everybody this. If you were to die just like you are today. Now, sir, I'm not trying to scare you. I hope you live 500 years. But if you were to die, if you were to die just like you are today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven, or is there a little doubt in your mind? And that guy looked at me and stepped across the threshold and reached over and patted me on the head like I was his little grandson. He's about 55, 60-year-old man. And he said, son, I'm so sure. He had this grin, but I knew he wasn't happy with me. He looked like a drill sergeant. He said, I'm so sure I'm going to die in the next 5 minutes. He didn't say anything else. And I looked at him, and I thought, I had this funny feeling that I wasn't going to get to say a word more what I plan on saying. And I also had this funny feeling that the door was fixing to close in my face. I don't know how I knew that. But instinctively, before the door closed, that's a real blessing when they do that, isn't it? When they slam the door in your face. It'll happen. You know, I did it just instinctively. I reached in my pocket and got a track. I had some tracks I got from the last church I was at. And I stuck a track in his hand. I didn't even know what I gave him. I stuck this track in his hand. And then I went on. So I went on down the way. I went out to the road and I walked down the road and then I went down that next sidewalk. And I thought, well, that guy wasn't real happy, but this guy here, he's going to be fine. And my pastor back home in Hot Springs, he says, in soul winning, you're looking for the one that's looking for you. That's what you're looking for. Not everybody's going to want it, but you're looking for the one that's looking for it. So I thought, this guy's going to want it. So I go to the door, and I don't even get to the door, never get to ring the next doorbell. Before I did, this guy over here, he goes, hey, he sticks his head out there. He said, hey, you, come here. And I looked over there, and I saw that guy, and he said, get over here. What are you doing over there? And I said, well, I was over here. I'm going to talk to this guy. He said, get over here. I'm not finished talking with you. And so I started walking down that sidewalk. And he said, where are you going? Well, you know what I was doing. I didn't want to walk on their grass because it's green. You know, they mowed it. And so, but I was looking for my car. I'm thinking, where is my car when I need it? Of all the times to lose my, I parked it around, I can't find my car. If I could just find my car, I could take off running and get there. If I beat him there, I'd take Pill out, you know. If I lost, you know, I was dead meat. And I couldn't find my car. And I was praying. He said, hurry up, get over here. So I started to head over there. And when I get over, I go down that sidewalk. Man, my heart's a thumping. You ever had this happen? Man, I'm praying, oh God, I'm not out loud. Oh God, if you ever help one of your servants, would you please help this one right now? And I got to the door, and he helped me, and he'll help you too. Some of you don't think you can do this. You hear about all these good soul winners in this church, and you're still a little scared. Help you if you'll just do what he tells you to do. Go ahead and do it this week. Jump in. It's good. The water's good. It's fine. Put your toe in the water. Dive in head first. I got up there and he said, how did you know I was going to say that? I said, say what? He said, how did you write this so fast? I said, write what? I mean, y'all got to understand, I'm slow freight coming this way. Don't say amen right there, but I'm slow freight coming. I'm the last guy to figure it out. He said, who gave you this to give to me just at the time you did? And he picked up, he showed me the track. I didn't even know what I gave him. I didn't know, folks, I didn't know what I had in my hand. I don't think we realize what we got in our hands. It's to keep somebody out of hell forever. It's unreal. I said, I gave you that? I'm thinking, I gave him that? I'm thinking, whoa. Not out loud. Wow. I gave him. I didn't give him. I didn't even know what I had. I grabbed a track and stuck it in his hand. Didn't even know. He said, who gave this to you to give to me? I want to know. Tell me exactly who it is. I didn't know what to say. So I pointed up like that. I said, he did. I didn't know what else to say. He looked up like he hadn't looked up in a long time. I said, he did. He said, oh, him? And then he changed. His face all changed. Just completely changed. And he said, you really think? I said, yeah. He gave it to me to give to you. And he did, folks. We read it tonight. This don't come from down here. This ain't a bunch of men putting it together. This come from heaven. We don't know what we got in our hand. He said, come on inside. I came inside. And he said, have a seat. Well, you know what I did? I took the seat by the door. I took take care of my wife's husband. Amen. I wanted to be able to get out of there. It was just me and him. This guy's big. I'm a foot away from him. He walks by me and goes over and sits down on the coffee table. I'll never forget this. He looks at me and he says, young man, he stood up. He said, I want to apologize to you for smarting off to you a few moments ago. I shouldn't have done that. No way. He looked at that thing and he started reading. He said, you don't know this. He said, you couldn't have known. My wife's a good lady. And she died about 6 months ago. And she's in heaven. But I'm not a good man. He said, I think about where I'm going to go when I die all the time. He said, I don't want to die in the next 5 minutes. He said, I wouldn't go to heaven. He said, whatever you were going to say, I want to apologize. Whatever you were going to say when you walked up to the door, would you please go ahead and say it now? Well, you know what happened to me? I got real brave, man. I got, all of a sudden, I jumped over on the other side of that coffee table and sat down next to him, and I opened up that track that I never even really read. My whole plan changed that day. I opened it up, and I read. I just thought, this is from God. And I read every word of that to him. It didn't take but 8-9 minutes. I'm a slow reader, I guess, maybe 5 minutes. And that man in his living room bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to save him right there in his living room. And I thought, man, how much time did it take to get a guy to off his road to hell and on his way to heaven? I'm thinking, man, I like these tracks, man. I think I'm going to get a bunch of them and pass them out. This is awesome. Why don't you get you some? Everybody in this building. I'm not talking about running off and leave yet. You know, they say no child left behind. No church member left behind. Y'all got the most awesome church already. But if there's some of you sitting, they say 89% of evangelical Christians, when surveyed, had never passed out their first tract yet. 89%. Much less give a witness. Are you going to do it? Are you going to let another year go by? You know, there's somebody in here tonight. And the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. He's wanting to get out. You ain't never going to be. No more than you would be happy if you'd have kept him out of your heart. If you keep him on the inside, you ain't going to be happy as a Christian. Quit sitting on the ball. There's people going to hell. I'll tell you this and I'm done. The Lord can reach anybody. 25-year-old man, junior CEO of a company, 600 employees already working under him, 25 years old. Big city on the coast, had over 1 million people in the city. The owner of the company calls him in and says, hey, have you noticed it's just me and you in this meeting, this private meeting? You've worked your way all the way to the top, young man. I ain't never seen a young man like you. He said, you know I'm getting old. One of these days, I'm not going to be around to run the company. I want you to have it. Are you listening? That young man sat there and he just had ice in his veins, man. He was ready. I said, yes, sir. He said, I got two boys at work here, and between me and you, I don't want either one of them to have it. I want to hand it to you. You've been the hardest working employee I've ever had. You started at the bottom, worked your way up. You've got the best ideas, ingenuity. Man, everybody around you works. He said, I want to hand it. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I want to hand the ball to you, and you can have the company when I die. Here's the problem. I got to keep you here. Somebody else wants you. I want to know what it takes a year for me to keep you on my payroll in the number two position till I die. Name your price. I'll probably be able to pay it for you. The boy was ready. He said, 25. He said, he didn't say six figures. He said, way up into the seven figures. And the guy said, you know what you want, don't you? He said, yeah, that's not all. He said, the guys that take clients out to work for the higher-ups here in these other companies, he said, yes, there has been people trying to hire me from you. He said, but I like you too. He said, the guys, if they take clients out, they take them out in a new car. I don't always have a new car to drive. I want a new car, a different car, each of the 5 days a week I work. A different car each day. I can tell you what car I want on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. One of the days was a Thursday, and he wanted a Lamborghini for Thursday. It's a pretty sweet car. And that guy said, I don't know about all them cars. He said, I'll give them to you, though. I don't know what all mean. He said, I can get that. And they set up the legal paperwork that night, and the next day by the weekend, he had those cars in possession. About a week went by, he's got his new car every day. And one afternoon, he gets off work about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, big city, and he goes out to his car, and before he could get in the car, all these people coming down the street in the busy skyscrapers, sidewalks, here's a guy on the corner, about a 50, 60-year-old man, and he starts preaching. He's a street preacher. I like street preachers. My first sermons I preached on the street corner. Nobody else would have me. I could preach out there. I preached. And this guy, he preached, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Boy, the cars were stopping and the traffic was, you know, people were rolling down their windows and some of them were flipping him off. Some of them are cussing him out. Some of them are listening. And he had his little entourage and little old lady next to him. She's sitting there amening him. And this guy's listening to him. And he never heard them words, two words used together before, born again. And so you know what he did? He's listening. He started to get in the car. And the guy quoted another verse about being born again. Before he could get in the car, a little old lady came around. She had to be about 90 because this was her baby son that was preaching. And she tapped him on the shoulder. He wheeled around and she said, young man, that's my son over there preaching on the corner. I noticed you was listening to him. He's a pretty good preacher, isn't he? He said, yeah, lady, real good. She said, I think he is. He's my baby. She said, but you know, more important than the preacher is the words he says, the message he gives. If you notice, he quoted the words of Jesus. Jesus said it first. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Son, if you don't get born again, you're going to burn in hell. Ain't going to be good. That guy said, lady, I need to get in my car. She said, I'll let you in your car. You got to go. But remember, you must be born again. He got in his car and he raced off. Next week, about a week later, he's on his way to work in another car. He gets out at a little quick stop, goes in and gets a Coke, runs out, try to make it to work on time. When he does, he bumps into a teenage boy. This boy, he's about 15, 16-year-old, kind of like me, man. His cheese is starting to fall out of his sandwich about half the time, you know. He's got tracks in his pocket, loaded up. He collects them. And he's coming in when that guy, that CEO's coming out, and they bump into each other at the door, and this boy's tracks fall all over the ground. He reaches down. He ain't going to let one of them go to waste. He's blocking the people trying to get in and out, and that guy can't get around him. He's picking up all these different tracks. And that guy said, what is that? And he said, oh, every one of these tell you how you can get born again. He said, get out of my way. He steps over and gets in his car and races to work. A week later on Thursday, it's his Lamborghini day. He's at lunch by himself at this new restaurant at this mall. And he leaves, pays for his meal on the way out about 1 o'clock, 1:30. And he leaves a tip and he goes out the mall. And when he goes out, this time he doesn't run into a teenage boy. He runs into a teenage girl. And she's sharp looking. She's got her act together. She's got on a long dress. She smells good. She's got a pretty smile on her face. And she never gets to say a word, though. And she hands him a tract that says this. You must be born again. He said, born again, born again. Everywhere I go, you people are robotic. He said, it's like you fall off the back of a turnip truck. He said, you're ruining our city. Can't you say something different? Born again. Like, how am I supposed to go back and get born twice? He takes the track and wads it up and puts it in her hand, drops it in her hand. She never gets to say a word. He gets to his car. He's on the cell phone. He calls him to the secretary. He says, I ain't coming in the rest of the afternoon. I'm not coming in tomorrow. I work harder than anybody at the company. I am sick and tired of these Christian people ruining my day. Everywhere I go, born again. He said, I'm going to find a way to get them out of the city if it's the last thing I do. He races to the shoreline, 20 minutes away, gets on his private boat, nice boat he's got there. He goes down the shoreline about a mile and a half, 2 miles, private, secluded area. Gets on his scuba diving outfit, parks the boat, dives over the side of the boat, 2:30 in the afternoon. Gets the little goggle mask on down at the bottom of the bay, and he's looking through these oyster shells. For about 30 minutes, he's looking to test. What do you think he's looking for? Not what he found. Oh, no. He opened the wrong one. You know what he found inside of it? A little piece of paper. Looked like he'd been underwater about 5 years, but it clear as a bell. You could see certain words. John chapter 3. You must be born again. He goes, no, not down here. I can't get away from this. He said, no, and close it. He opens it. There it is again. You must be. He swims as fast as he can to the top. He gets in that boat. He floorboards it. He runs to the shore. I mean, it's like a tidal wave hits the shoreline when he parks that boat. He, one big leap and bound, he forgets to take off his scuba diving outfit. He gets in his Lamborghini and peels off down the road, soaks his Lamborghini, and he's looking for a church. It's Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock. He can't find a church. Where's the churches at? He's busting through red lights, going through stop signs. I can't find a church. I ain't been to churches so long. There ain't any churches in this town. I got to get born again bad. And he's looking. Finally, he sees a building with a steeple on it. There it is. There it is. He gets out. He runs up to the doorsteps of the front step. Knocks on the front door of the church. Nobody answers. 3 in the afternoon. Oh, no. He about beats the door down 4 or 5 times like that. Finally, the poor pastor's in there. He's studying for Sunday or something, I guess. He's in the back and some nuts about to beat the door down on the church. He goes up to the front door, looks through the little peephole, and there's this guy on the front steps in a frog outfit. Cross-eyed looking dude, man, soaking wet. Oh, my soul, what's this world coming to? He said, what do you want? He said, are you a preacher? Yes, I'm a preacher. Quit yelling. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to get born again bad. He said, you don't know who I am. He said, no, I don't. He said, I got lots of money. Yeah, sure. He said, Willie, I do. I'll give you a lot of money if you could just show me how to get born again. You ain't going to believe this story. Preacher said, you stay at that door. Do not come in this church. He looked over his shoulder and he saw a Lamborghini parked there still running with the door open. He runs to the baptistry dressing room. He gets him a couple of beach towels, you know, out of there. He runs back to the front door. He says, all right, stay outside. He drives him off outside. He said, come in my office. In about 10, 15 minutes, he shows him where to head in. And that guy got born again. You know what that was, folks? That wasn't the street preacher. That wasn't the little old lady. That wasn't the teenage boy. That wasn't the teenage girl. You know what that was? That was the Word of God. I read a verse. It says, the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm kind of slow, but the Word of God's quick. I love it. I'm kind of weak. I know I'm weak, but the Word of God's powerful. I'm kind of dumb. Don't say amen. But the Word of God's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to pass out tracts the rest of my life. You know what? This ought to be the best week this church ever had by far for passing out tracts. I think we want to see souls saved. I would love to see just a bunch. And you know what? I think Jesus loves tracts, and I think Carl Hatch loves them, and I think Joe Boyd loves them. And I think we ought to get these things, and we ought to pass them out everywhere and have some fun doing it. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Christians in an attitude of prayer.